Okay. Good morning, everybody. So the rabbi yesterday got us a chunk of the way down Chaf Beis Amud Aleph, and I'm going to take his gift and run because we've got a bit of a long daf today. Omar, at the very least, the first half of it. We are going back on the Mishnah. Okay, the Mishnah told us Shuma Yisamu Shloshim Yom Shuma Hakdash Shishim Yom Achrizin Bavokar VeErev, that the rules were for when we were selling the property of either Yisomim or Hekdish, there was a certain length of time for which it was put up for sale, and they would announce day and night. Okay, and the rabbi's portion yesterday of Chaf Beis Amud Aleph focused on the exact timing of each of these scenarios. When was it 30 days? When was it 60 days? And the other opinions that we found, for each of these things. And the rabbi ended about 20 lines down, 15 lines down, by Amar of Yehuda, Amar of Asi, right opposite the Tosfos of Amar of Nachman. Okay, and that's where we'll be starting right now. Amar of Yehuda, Amar of Asi. Rav Yehuda says, in the name of Rav Asi, Ein nizkakin lenichse yisomim, ela imken haisaribis ocheles bahen. The question is, when does Beis Din really take the responsibility to go and put this stuff up for sale and advertise it and be machrizand and try to get people to buy it? Says Rav Asi, I'll tell you when. It's only when the Yisomim will actually be losing out in some fashion. Specifically, says Rav Asi, it's only where there is interest that they're having to pay on a loan. Meaning, the father who passed away owed someone money. That someone is taking whatever amount of interest every month, week, you name it, day, year, until the loan is repaid. Therefore, the Yisomim stand to lose out. Because if they get their stuff in order and they sell the property right now, they can pay back their creditor immediately and they will not have to pay any more ribis, any more interest from now and on. Therefore, he says, that's the only time that we take their property and evaluate it and try to put it up for sale. Okay? Rabbi Yochanan, says, no, there are two possible cases where the Yisomim would be losing out and where we would, again, sell their property. O lishtar sheyesh bo ribis. The first case, he agrees with Rav Asi to say, in the case where they're losing money due to interest that they owe someone, that's one case. O liksubas isha, mishum mizoni. Says Rabbi Yochanan, the second possibility, though, is if the husband has to pay out his ksuba. Okay? The husband, presumably, upon dying, and as we'll see, the Gemara will talk later about divorce, has to pay his wife her ksuba. Now, what can happen is until she gets her ksuba, she continues to get a daily stipend for mizonos, for food. That being the case, says Rabbi Yochanan, in this case as well, the Yisomim are losing money. Therefore, we want them to have the ability to pay out the woman, to pay out their mother, presumably, so that they don't continue to lose every single day by having to pay her mizonos. Okay, so these are the two cases. Rav Asi, again, says it's only about a case where you're losing ribis. Rav Yochanan says, no, we're even going to include a case where you have to pay out the ksuba and you're losing money because of mizonos. Continues the Gemara. Okay, now we're going to go through Rav Asi and Rav Yochanan, for the next chunk of the Gemara. For Rav Asi, my time alo amar l'ksubas isha. Okay, and Rav Asi asks the Gemara, why doesn't Rav Asi agree? If Rav Asi's logic is really to say that we're only doing it to save the Yisomim money, so why doesn't he agree to Rav Yochanan to say that when they're losing money to a ksuba, they should also have it evaluated immediately and that we should take care of them? Why is it any different? So Rav Asi, my time, alo amar l'ksubas isha, deha tekinu l'rabbanan ma'asiya deha. Because Rav Asi says, well, there's a trade-off here. Although it's true that the Yisomim will have to be paying out a stipend for food to their mother, on the other hand, she has to give them back in return her Masiya Dai. Meaning, so long as the ksuba is not paid out, it's not simply that they have to give her money for food, she also owes them Masiya Dai. If that's the case, says Rav Asi, it balances out. The Idach, and what about according to Rav Yochanan, Dimin de lo Safka? There are times where that, that doesn't make up the amount that they're giving her. Meaning, they'll be giving her $10, and she'll be bringing in $5. So they're still going to be losing, says Rabbi Yochanan. So therefore, in that case, we also right away try to take care of the person who died's affairs so that the Yisomim don't lose out any money. Now we're going to bring citations from Mishnayos to try to prove, to try to see how it works according to each of these shitas, according to Rabbi Yochanan and according to Rav Asi. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, Shuma Yisomim Shloshim Yom Shuma Hakdash Shishim Yom Achrizin Baboker BaErev, B'mai eskinan, what's our Mishnah talking about? What is the case in which we said Shum HaYisomim Machrisin Baboker Ba'erev for Shloshim Yom? Says the Gemara, Ilema Be'ba'achov Oved Kochavim, if you're going to tell me that the person who died owes money to a non-Jew, Mitzayas, is he really going to wait this 30 days in order to get paid back? Right? What's going on? You can't do that then. He's not going to agree to the terms. Elapshita rather says Igmar, it's obvious that it must be talking about Bebal Chov Yisrael, where the person who they owe money to is Jewish. Ask the Gemara, Idika Achil Ribisa, so 1 second. Why is it that we would even bother taking care of the Yisomim's affairs here? If this guy, this Jewish guy, was taking ribbis from them, Mishavkin and Lai, are we gonna allow him to do that? He's Jewish. Right? If Bezdin's really in charge of this, Bezdin's gonna stop the guy from taking ribbis. Ve'ela deloka achel ribisa, says the Gemara. They didn't write that the answer is he had a heter iska, interestingly. Okay, ve'ela deloka achel ribisa. Rather, fine, he's not taking any ribbis. Uktani niskakin, but then why is it that the Mishnah tells us that, again, we do take care of these summons affairs here? Bish lama l'Rabbi Yochanan. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, muki la b'ksubas isha. We can say that the situation here is one where they're paying out a ksuba. So therefore, even though there's no ribbis, meaning you have a Jew, there's no ribbis involved, but there's still a loss, and therefore Rabbi Yochanan says you would have to pay it. You would have to take care of the Yisomim's affairs because they're losing money on the ksuba. Again, they have to pay her her mizonos stipend. Elal Rav Asi, but according to Rav Asi, who says that the only case in which we take care of the Yisomim's affairs is when they're losing money due to ribbis. How can you possibly explain this, Kasha? Ar lecha Rav Asi. Rav Asi will fire back and with a different perspective of a question. Ulur Rabbi Yochanan Minicha. 1 second, he says. How is Rabbi Yochanan any better off? Mishav kinan mizoni divare kamafsida v'naktinan hachraza delo yadinan imivarchinan imiravchinan ilamaravchinan? Asks Rav Asi a general question on Rabbi Yochanan. He says, Rabbi Yochanan would say that in this case, the reason why we're taking care of the Yisomim's property and trying to get it up for sale is why? Because they have to pay off a ksuba and they're losing money. Every day they're losing $5 for mizonos or $10 for mizonos. Terrible thing. We really got to take care of it. He says, so what are you doing to fix it? You're holding off the inevitable for 30 days. He says, who says you're going to get any more money at the end of the 30 days? What you're doing is you're making them lose money for 30 days. According to your logic, Rabbi Yochanan, you should say, sell it on day one. Go and bring it up for auction and goodbye. Right? Why are you making them certainly lose money for 30 days? Because there's a possibility you might get a better price over the time that you've announced. That's his question on Rabbi Yochanan, and therefore he says, that's why I would disagree with you in this case. At the end of the day, though, we don't have an answer at this point for either of them. So says the Gemara, hello, Kasha.
Is it possible he's also asking, you could go and sell his property in 30 days, and he may not even fetch 100 cents on the dollar, so he's losing considerable principal to defray a tiny little cost that he has on a daily basis.
He's adding that it may go the other way as well, that even 30 days may not be enough. Is that what you're suggesting?
No, I think he's suggesting that you're speculating that you're going to fetch a certain price for the property, but you may not even get that. So then the guy will take a haircut to save $5 a day.
Okay. Says the Gemara, Halo Kasha, that's not a question. Why? Bitova ask suvasa bevezdin. Because this case, Rabbi Yochanan would set this case of the Mishnah, of Shum HaYisomim Shloshim Yom HaKrizim V'Okara Erev, in a case of Tovas K'subasa BeBezdin. What's that? That's where she comes to Bezdin. Kid Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Zed Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, HaTovas K'subasa BeBezdin Ein LaMizonos. Okay, so therefore this case is one where it's true, it's a case of K'suba, but there are no questions about the payment for Mizonos on a daily basis. The Yisomim will not be losing out. Why? Because she's already come to Bezdin to collect it. At that point, the sort of relationship ends. They no longer have to offer her mizonos. She no longer has to offer them masi adayim, and therefore they're not losing out. So we can have it for 30 days, and that's how Rabbi Yochanan would respond to Rav Asi's question. Asks the Gemara the obvious question, though, on behalf of Rav Asi's camp. Hiachi is dakuki lam is dakinan lei. Why then would we bother again putting this up for sale? Why would we bother taking care of this if the whole reason why we do this is to avoid their losses? Well, if there are no losses here, why are we setting this 30-day period altogether? Right? We shouldn't take care of it whatsoever. Ela kevan diz dakinan la meikara, mis dakinan la basof. Rather, since we do it, you know, at the beginning, whether it was that, you know, because of the fact that she went into Bezdin, however you choose to explain this line, or because maybe immediately following his death, there was a Mizonos payment, they wanted to take care of it as quick as possible. For whatever the reason is, we are not Michalik between Ksubas, whether or not it was already asked in Bezdin or not. Okay, there can be a few reasons for that, but those are some of them. Mikal Makom asked the Gemara, fine. So we've solved the case according to Rabbi Yochanan. What about according to Rav Asi? Mikol Makom LeRav Asi Kasha. What are we going to do according to Rav Asi's camp? So Rav Asi, and this next couple of lines in the Gemara is going to be repeated I don't know how many times over the daf. Okay, so pay close attention the first time and it'll save you lots of headache later. La'olam bival chov oved kochavim. Shekibel avlav ladun b'dine Yisrael. Says, rather, we're talking about a non-Jew who agrees, you know, I feel bad for them. You know, the guy who owed me money just died. The poor kids. So their people want to have 30 days for them, fine. I'll follow their rule. Shekibel alav ladun b'dine Yisrael. He accepted to follow the Jewish law in this case, so therefore that's why he's going to wait 30 days to get paid back, because of this. Ask the Gemara, Ihachi ribis nami lo lishkal. So if this guy's such a big tzaddik, ask the Gemara, that he's accepting ladun b'dine Yisrael, why is he taking ribis in first place? That's also a Jewish law, that you shouldn't be taking ribis from people. Right? So we should tell the guy, listen, no ribis for you. So answers the Gemara, again, this is a smart non-Jew, shekibel alav lezu, velo kibel alav lezu. He accepted this halacha that he can wait 30 days for them to get their stuff in order, but he's not going to accept not to take ribis from them. Good try.
All of a sudden, he lost interest in that concept.
Exactly. He, yeah, you don't want.
He didn't want to lose interest.
My fate. You know, if it weren't for the puns in this year, I'm not even sure it would be worth it to get up in the morning for it. Yeah. So, anyways.
That's nice thing.
Yes. This is the early day.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. He lets him manage without me.
He gets a certain license here.
Yeah, I mean, it's good because then I can reuse them on the second half. And everybody thinks they're mine. No, Chas v'Shalom, I would always say Davar V'Shem Amro. I would always say Davar V'Shem Amro.
I was going to say, as if they groan, you complain.
Okay, Tashma. Let's take another case. Now, this is another halacha that we talk about from the Nichsei Yisomim. Ein nifran mi Nichsei Yisomim, ela min haziburis. That the halacha is, when it comes to Nichsei Yisomim, you only have to pay out from the worst possible land. Meaning, in general, there are three types of land from which people can repay, you know, loans, whatever it was, sales. There's ziburis, the worst type of land. There's benonis, sort of average land. Ziburis means you're giving a lot of land that's all really, really bad. And therefore, it adds up to a certain amount of money. You have Benonis, which is mediocre land, and you have Edis, which is the best land, and you only have to give a very small amount because it's very productive land. So the halacha is that Ein Nifran Miyasei Som Ela Min HaZiburis. There's like a heter almost to pay Ziburis when it comes to paying back loans from the Yisomim. But my asking on Asa Gemara, what case is this that we're allowing you to pay Ziburis? And now we're going to go through this Ravasi Rabbi Yochanan once again. Ilema Biba'al Chov Oved Kochavim, if we're talking about a case where it's a non-Jew coming and taking interest, right? And the person owes that non-Jew money. Mitzayis, is he really going to accept this, you know, gross land from us? Just because we have some law saying that you can pay back in Ziburis this heter? Elapshita, rather, says the Gemara, obviously it's talking about a Bebal Chov Yisrael, about a Jewish creditor who's coming. I achil ribisa, mishav kinole, same questions. Again, we repeat the same idea. If he's eating ribis, and how can we allow him to do that? How can we allow this Jew to take ribis? So that can't be the case either. So it can't be a non-Jewish creditor. It can't be a Jewish creditor. What's going on? It says the Gemara, Ela delo achil ribisa. No, it is a Jewish creditor. However, he's not taking ribis. Uktanin niskakin. And we're saying niskakin, but ask the Gemara, why? If they're not taking ribis, again, there's no reason for us to get involved in the affairs of the Yisomim. Bishlam alor Rabbi Yochanan muki la b'ksuba sisha, as we said earlier, according to Rabbi Yochanan, this all makes sense. Why? He can say he's talking about paying off b'ksuba. Okay? Ela le Rav Asi, but according to Rav Asi kasha, we're going to have a question. Amar lecha Rav Asi. Rav Asi will ask you, Rabbi Yochanan minicha? According to Rabbi Yochanan, is it any better? And rather than ask the same question as last time, which we got an answer for, Rav Asi now asked a different question on Rabbi Yochanan. Iksuva, if it's iksuva, my iria miyasmi. Afilu mine dide nami biziburis. Says Rav Asi, I don't get it then. What's the kula here? The halacha is, says Rav Asi, that even the husband can pay off his wife in ziburis with this, you know, less fantastic land. So if that's the case, what is the special hatter? What is the special kula for Yisomim? There's no chiddush in this, asks Rav Asi. Says the Gemara, Halokasha. This is not a question, because Rabbi Yochanan would say, Rav Meir, that we follow the opinion of Rav Meir, Damar, Ksubas Isha Bebenonis, that in fact, the husband would have had to pay it off with Benonis land, and the Chiddush of this is that the Yisalmim can pay it off with Ziburis land, and therefore the question of Ravasi falls away. Umiyasmi Beziburis, and in this case it pays Ziburis. Mikal Makom asks the Gemara, Le Ravasi Kasha. What are we going to do about Ravasi? Again, we still have the same problem. He can't say that it's Ksubas Isha, and he can't say that it's a Baal Chov, not a non-Jew and not a Jew. Says the Gemara, La'olam b'val chov oed kochavim. We're going to answer the same way again. Really, it's talking about a non-Jewish creditor. Shekibal alav ladin b'dinei Yisrael, and he agreed to get the Ziburis. Ihachi ribis nami l'lishkal, asks the Gemara, if so, then what's he doing taking ribis? Shekibal lizu v'lo kibal alav lizu, that he accepted this element of the halacha, but not that element of the halacha. So this was quote number two that we tried to bring to clarify the shitos of Rabbi Yochanan and Ravasi. Now we continue. Tashma, al menas litin isha ksubasol bal chov chovo. They announce that it's on condition that you're giving, you know, paying off the woman's ksuba, and the bal chov is being, and again, paying off the creditor. This is something they announce when they are being machris for the yisomim. Bishlama, says the Gemara. Makes sense. Bal chov, okay? In the case of bal chov, meaning the Mishnah is saying we collect really for two reasons, and there's going to be a very obvious question here. When it comes to paying back a creditor, we've established, until now, ways in which both of these can be explaining that we'd pay back a creditor. The simplest way would just be to take Ravasi's opinion of old cases, which is a non-Jew who accepted to follow the Jewish laws regarding this, but not regarding interest. Okay? So that's fine. When the Mishnah, or whatever it is here, says that it's in order to give a Baal, to repay a Baal Chov, that we can figure out. Bein Mar Uvein Mar Kiddushanina. That's how we answered until now. Elok subasa. But what is this that we say that is on condition we're doing this in order to pay off a woman's ksuba? So bishlam ala Rabbi Yochanan nicha. This is exactly one of the reasons why Rabbi Yochanan says that you would in fact be going through this whole action. Ela la Ravasi, but according to Ravasi, who says you don't do this in order to repay a ksuba kasha. How are we possibly to explain this line? Hacha b'maya, skinan here. What are we dealing with? Kishechayev moda, says Ravasi. No. I'm only talking about a case where potentially there could be a dispute. What do you mean there could be a dispute? Well, says Ravasi, if right before death, the husband admits, I never paid my wife a cent for her ksuba, okay, clearly this is an outstanding ksuba, or he's looking to the future, meaning if we know with 100% certainty that the party which owes the money admits that they still owe the money, or even presumably the Yisomim, that's going to be a case in which I will agree that you would go through this process for a ksuba. Says the Gemara, Hashta da'asis lahachi, and now that you're saying this, kulunami kishechayev mode, you can establish all of those other cases talking about also where the party that owes the money admits that they still owe the money. And as we're going to see in the Gemara, this is presumably because Rav Asi is concerned about something relating to the fact that we don't want to pay out debts from the estate of the person who passed away, because we're not sure if he actually owes them. That's clearly his hesitancy. Therefore, in a case where we know with certainty that he does owe this money, even Ravasi would agree that we'd pay out money from his estate, and we'd immediately go into his estate to take care of it. All clear?
Well, why would he pay ksuba if he didn't die yet and he didn't divorce his wife?
So who says it's talking about a death? Maybe, as we're going to see, it's talking about Grusha right over here in the next section. Maremar agvi ksuba, says the Gemara. Maremar took a ksuba legrusha, and you know, mi nichse di yasmi. He went down into the nichse yisomim and he took payment for a ksuba for a grusha. Amar le Ravina la Maremar. This is exactly what the Gemara is addressing. Ravina says to a Maremar, veha amar Rav Yehuda amar Ravasi and his kaken lechse yisomim el mukin aisa ribis tocheles bahen. Rabbi Yochanan Omar ol ishtashi shveres ol ksubas isha mishum mizoni. Okay, and he just requotes the entire statement of Yehuda in the name of Ravasi. Number one, Ravasi's opinion, but also Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. And he says, what does Rabbi Yochanan say the reason is? Because of mizoni. Now, in a case of divorce, does the husband have to keep on providing the wife with mizonos, with food every day? No. So says, right, says, Ravina to Amemar. Amemar went ahead and did an action whereby he took money from the Yisomim and gave it back to this woman who was a Grusha. How could you do that? Right? Even Rabbi Yochanan says this is only talking about a ksuba for someone for a husband who died, not for a husband who divorced his wife, because in the case of death, he still owes her food every day. But here, in the case of divorce, there's no food. So how dare you, Amemar, pay back and take the money of the Yesomim? Aval Gerusha lo, but a Gerusha would not be the case. Amar le, says the Gemara, Amemar responded to Ravina and said, no. Hahidir of Yochanan mishum china. That's not the reason of Rabbi Yochanan. It's true. That's what you might have heard from Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Ravasi and the name of Rabbi Yochanan, but it's not true. The real reason for Rabbi Yochanan was not because she's losing out money. They are losing out money on the mizonos payments that they owe her, but rather for a different reason, because of chinah. Anybody know what chinah is? Favor. What does favor mean here? Apparently, women weren't so happy to think of the fact that imagine they would get married to someone, they would lose their husband. Oh my gosh, how long are we going to wait till we actually get paid out? It's never going to happen. So therefore, in order to make sure that they were taken care of, and to keep them happy, so to say, based on the language of the Gemara, we said that you've got to pay it off very close to when the husband dies, in this case, meaning don't leave it indefinitely until the Yesomim grow up, who knows how long that might be, till the woman actually gets her money. Okay, so this is a general rule for all women, not just for an almana, because of mizonos. It has nothing to do with mizonos, says the Gemara. It has to do with chinah. Okay. Right? Mishum chinah masninan la. We give it to her because of chinah. Amar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, Mireisha lo havim mizdakna l'nichse yasmi. Originally, he said, I didn't bother dealing with nichse yasomim. However, let's just summarize from there. Therefore, since the reason is because of chinah, and that is the reason for Rabbi Yochanan saying you have to give back a ksuba, the reason of chinah is applicable to any ksuba, whether it be for an almana, whether it be for a gerusha, and therefore what Amemar did was appropriate. And going back one step further, in the case of chayiv modeh, in the case where the guilty party, the party that owes agrees that they still owe the money, we're not going to wait until the yesomim grow up. Rather, we're going to take your 30-day waiting period, even according to Rav Asi. Okay? That's how he summarized. Now, let's get on to Rav Nachman. This is a scary Gemara. A bit weird, dare I say, but let's read it. I'm Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, Mireisha lohavim is dakakna l'nechse yasmi. Originally, I wouldn't even bother with nechse yasomim at all. Kevan dishamana lahadra Rav Huna Chavrin. But once I heard this, what Rav Huna Chavrin said, Mishmei de Rav, in the name of Rav, yasmi de achli de lo didhu, yasomim, orphans, that eat that which is not theirs, meaning that take money that's not theirs, lizlu basar shivkayu, should go after the person who left it to them. Okay, he basically said that if Yesomim end up doing the wrong things, they should die. That's not a very nice thing, but nevertheless, therefore, this spurred Rav Nachman to action to say, Mikan ve'elach, from then on, mizdakakna. I did, in fact, go in and, make it my business to take care of the Nichse Yesomim. Me'ikara ma'itam alo. Ask the Gemara, why was it that he didn't do it originally? Is there something bad? Is there something wasteful in taking care of Nichse Yesomim? What's wrong with that? So there are two reasons here given to the Gemara. The Gemara is actually going to add a third later on in the next Amud, but for now we're going to focus on two shittos. Amar of Papa, Rav Papa says shita number one, Priyas Balchov Mitzvah, V'yas Milav V'nei Miavid Mitzvah Ninu. Rav Papa says there's actually a mitzvah to pay someone's debt back. However, Yesomim are 5 years old, 7 years old. They're not bar mitzvah yet. So therefore, helping them pay back a loan, you don't get any mitzvah for, so he figured, not worth it to get involved. I can help them later on when they're older. I'll help them pay them back. I'll get a mitzvah. Or I can be doing other mitzvos, says Rav Nachman, according to Rav Papa. Okay, if you ask me, they're not mitzvah age yet. Rav Huna Bar Yehuda Rav Yeshua Amar no. Amar Tzrari Atfasei says there's actually a concern that the creditor might have actually taken money. And therefore, we need time, says Rav Nachman, for the Yesomim to grow up, for them to be able to get all their affairs in order, make sure that everything's okay, and that when they actually owe someone money, no one actually took that money. That requires a lot of time, says Rav Nachman, so therefore I would let them wait until they became bar and bas mitzvah, and only then would I get involved, at that point, to help things out, because then we can know for certain that no one actually came in, none of the people who he owed money came in and took the money from him right when he died, okay? Because that would be a concern. My Benayu asked the Gemara, what would be the practical case that would be different between these cases? Ika Benayu, there would in fact be a practical difference between them. Bishechayev Moda, the case that Rav Asi said above, when the father, right on his deathbed says, no one took any of this money from me, or when the Yesomim admit, we know for certainty that the person who we owe money to did not take any of it, then this concern is no longer valid. In that case, presumably, Rav Nachman would have been involved in cases of Yesomim. Why? Because there's no concern of Tzrari Atfasa that the guy came and took some of his some of the money that was owed to him because the family agrees the person didn't. So therefore, those cases, that wouldn't apply. On the other hand, even in a case Keshechayef Moda, if we follow Rav Papa's reason to say that it's because of mitzvah to pay back a chov, then in that case, that would equally apply because they would still be under Bar Bas Mitzvah and Rav Nachman would not have partaken in that case. Inami, says the Gemara, a very similar possible answer. Shamtu omeis b'shamte. If Beis Din actually put the guy in cherem and threw him in cherem because he was refusing to pay back his loan and he died while he was still in this, you know, prison, we can be pretty certain that the guy didn't get his money yet. Right? Shalchu mitam, and they sent Ramir to Shamtu omeis b'shamte, and that was an answer that they gave elsewhere. And all of these questions that we had until now can be explained by saying Shamtu omeis b'shamte. That even according to Rav Asi, even according to Rabbi Yochanan, we can explain all of these cases that that's indeed what happened, and this is based on Rav Nachman's case here. Okay, and this was one another way to resolve all of those questions. Okay. Behilchasak Rav Huna Breid Yerushua. And says the Gemara, the halacha follows Rav Huna Breid Rabbi Yoshua, that the concern is Tshari Atfisei. And therefore, in these cases of Chayav Moda or Shamtu Omeis B'Shamte, where we know for certain that the father never paid a cent to any of these people, then we will say that you have to be Yorl Nechsei Yisomim and pay them in these cases. Okay? This is what the Gemara says halacha is. Tan! More questions now. More problems now. As we turn the Yamud. Shuma Yisomim Shloshim Yom. Okay? As we said as in our Mishnah, the amount of time that we, you know, put it on the market for is 30 days. Shuma Hektash Shishim Yom for Hektash 60 days. Umachrisen Babokir Uva Erev, and we announce in the morning and in the evening. But Maya Skinan. So ask the Gemara, what are we talking about in that case? Again, same run through in the Gemara. If we're going to say, he's talking about a non-Jewish creditor, will he really listen to wait his 30 days? Elapshita says the Gemara, it's obvious, but Baal Yisrael is talking about a Jewish creditor. Bishlama l'Rav Huna b'Reidi Rav Yehoshua. So now says the Gemara, we're going to go back in both those opinions within Rav Nachman to say whether is it according to Rav Huna b'Reidi Rav Yehoshua or is it according to Rav Papa. So says the Gemara, according to Rav Huna b'Reidi Rav Yehoshua, Muki Labish Chayav Moda. Here he can say if the Yisomim or if the father right before he dies says, I know for a fact that I owe this Jewish guy money, then we'll go in and take care of his, you know, his property. And that can be an easy case. Elalur of Papa, but according to Rav Papa, Kasha. In what way could we say that we'd put their stuff on the market for 30 days? At the end of the day, at this point, Rav Papa says there's no mitzvah to pay back, and therefore we shouldn't be worried and concerned about what the Yisomim owe. They can take care of that later. So how is it that Rav Papa would explain this regular case of Shumai Yisomim, Shloshim Yom? Says the Gemara, Amar Lecha Rav Papa would say, Iba Yisema, if you want, you can say Ksuba Mishum China. Either you can say it's a case of ksuba that you're repaying, and ksuba is because of china, meaning it has nothing to do with the money owed and the money being lost, but rather just to keep her happy. Or you can say it's talking about a non-Jew who agreed to follow Jewish law in this matter. Now the Gemara has a slightly modified version of the question. Says the Gemara, okay, fine. According to Rav Papa is saying, it's only because this guy is knocking on the door that we need to give him the money after 30 days. Why is it, says, asks the Gemara, says, if he's already willing to accept Jewish law, why don't we tell him, listen, Jewish law says we wait until they become bar and bas mitzvah. Right? That's a simpler case. Why do you drain a cup with 30 days? There's no reason to do that, according to Rav Papa. They're still not going to be old enough in order to get a mitzvah then, so why don't we tell this non-Jew to wait until then? Says the Gemara, linter lua de godly. Right? And asking more, he accepted this element, but he's not willing to wait, 7 years until they become Gidolim. Tashman, we go through the next case. The same question asking on Rav Papa and Rav Huna, just like we asked on Rav Yochanan and Rav Asi earlier. What are we dealing with? If we're talking about a non-Jewish creditor, mitzayis, are we really going to listen to what he says? Elapshita, rather it's obvious, but Yisrael is talking about a Jewish one. Is he really going to listen? Rather, it's talking about a Jewish bachov. As we said, exactly the same thing before. Okay? It's talking about a case where the father would have admitted right before he died that he still owes the money. But according to Rav Papa, bishlama ksuba mishum china. We can understand in a case of ksuba. According to Rav Papa, if he agrees that it's because of china and has nothing to do with the loss of money, but rather he wants to pay this woman as fast as possible because it's not nice to women to not do that. Ela balchov kasha. But what are we going to do about the case of balchov? Right? Because in the citation that we have now, it says, Amanas li ten li shak subasa, one case, ulubal chov chovo, the second case. So we've explained one case, but what's Rav Papa going to do about the second case? La'olam says the Gemara, Bibal Chov, Oed Kochavin, talking about a non-Jewish creditor, Chukon, Shekiva Lav, Ladum, Dinei Israel, and again, he accepted upon himself to follow the Jewish law in this area. Ikiva Lav, asked the Gemara, Linter Luad, the godly, why again don't we wait until the Bar and Bas Mitzvah, where you get a mitzvah for paying back? Shekiva Lav, Lizu, Velo, Kiva Lav, Lizu, where you accepted for this reason and not for this reason. Now comes the Gemara along in this final section with a new reason. Rava Amar, and the way the Mefarshim seem to explain this is that this is going back on what Rav Nachman said, and Rashi is pretty clearly that way. He doesn't explicitly link it to Rav Nachman, but it's clear that he's referring to that. Rava Amar, why is it that we wouldn't go down to the Nechzei Yisamim and deal with them? Mishum Shofar, because we're worried about the existence of a receipt. Okay, a receipt, which means that it was really paid off. So it's like a take almost on Keshechayev Moda. It's like a similar type case, but not really. Here, we wouldn't have known about it, but we're worried about there's an existence of a receipt from earlier. Amale Rav Huna Baradi Rishua L'Rava. Rav Huna Baradi Rishua, who is obviously his combatant here, said to Rava, 1 second, Umichai Shinan L'Shovar. In general, are we concerned that there's some sort of receipt existing that we don't know about? V'atnan, but we learned in the Mishnah, Hanifras Shelo B'fanav. If there's a woman who's taking the money for the ksuba, meaning she was divorced in Medina Sayam by a shaliach, okay, and now she wants her ksuba, if she's being paid off, not in front of her old husband, lo tipar ala bishvua, she has to swear in order to get her money from the ksuba. Okay, again, we're talking about a ksuba which was given not in front of the husband. V'amar Rav Acha Sar Habira, there says Rav Acha Sar Habira, Masa balifne Rav Yitzchak Nafcha le'antuchia. There was a case which came in front of Yitzchak Nafcha in Antioch. V'amar lo shanu ala ksubas isha mishum china. The reason why we have a special hetzer here that she has to pay, that she can get paid, and she has to take a shvua in order to get it, okay, and we're going to see what that means in just one moment, is only referring to a case of ksubas isha. Okay? Meaning, the only time Bezdin, even when sworn to, will actually go down and take someone's money to pay off someone else is only in this case of ksuba. Why? Because of china, because of this rule, we have to keep her happy. However, aval ba'al chov, but when it comes to any regular creditor, no matter, you can swear up and down, Bezdin will not go in. Okay? V'rabba amar Rav Nachman afilu ba'al chov nami. Okay? And if, you know, in the case of, and Rabba says the name of Rav Nachman, however, even a ba'al chov can do this. Ask the Gemara, v'chayeshes l'shovar. However, either way, but certainly according to Rabba amar Rav Nachman, the halacha is going to be that even for a ba'al chov, you know, they can take a shvuah and they can go down and Bezdin will go and take this guy's property and give it over. Whatever happened to Shofar? If you, Rava, says Rav Huna Baradi Rishua, are really telling me there's a serious concern of Shofar, that we're scared there might be a receipt somewhere, why in that case are we willing to go down into the guy's property and take his money? Maybe there's a Shofar. We have to ascertain 100% that she wasn't paid off or that this creditor wasn't paid off. So how can you, Rava, possibly say that here we're concerned for a shofar? Amar le, hasam kidamrinan tama shelo yehei kol echad notel ma'osav shel chaver v'olech v'yoshev lo v'medinas hayam. He says, because what can happen is then, here's what's going to happen. Let's think of the case of a creditor, says Rava. What's going to happen is, I'm going to go take money that I borrowed from you. I borrowed $100,000 from you. I go take the money, and now I go and move to China. Okay, I put it in a Swiss bank, whatever it is. Okay? What's going to happen then if the halacha is that we're chayshinan l'shovar? In that case?
You'll never get your money back.
You'll never get your money back. Right? I'm sitting in Yehupitz. So if Bezin is allowed to go in and take it on their own, right, with the shvua from you, so fine, that makes sense. That can work.
The borrower presumably still has assets in Thornhill that the guy can attack. His problem is he's in China and he can't confront him to say...
Correct, but Bezdin can go and deal with this if he goes to them in that case.
Otherwise the guy will send from China, I paid you back and there's a shofar somewhere.
Well, he doesn't even have to send. We're just in general chashin on the shofar. There's no communication here. He doesn't have to... If he comes back and says, then you've got a serious case where one person's denying the loan. That's not what's going on here. What's going on here is that we may be worried on our own about a shofar. So you think, the reason why we're not worried about a shofar there is because think of the breakdown that this will cause. We're going to have complete anarchy. People just take all their stuff with them to Yehupitz, And then therefore, no one will ever get their loans paid back. So therefore, we can't be choshish for a shovar. We have to tell Bezdin. Bezdin has to got to go in and get this guy's money back because people have to get paid back. However, in this, in a regular case where the people are all in front of us, right? And, you know, you can just go over to the guy's house and talk to him, then we will be chayshin and l'shovar. And that will be the reason why originally we weren't mizdakek l'nechse yosomim, that we wouldn't worry about the nechse yosomim, because we actually are worried that there's a shovar floating around. And the only case where we're not worried for a shovar again is this case of Medina Sayam. All clear? So this would be a third reason to explain Rav Nachman's hesitancy to get involved with these cases. Amar Rava. Now we're going to get down to the halacha, and we're going to stop at the end of the Amud, because I did not want to start on the Mishnah today. At the end of the day, Amar Rava. Rava says, Hilchasad halacha is in nizkakin l'nichse yisomin. That in fact, we don't bother, we don't go, you know, we don't get involved. V'im Amar Tenu. If, however, the person before he died said, I'd like you to give, you know, money to such and such, or I'd like you to give Niskakin, Sadezu, so then it depends. Then Niskakin, we will go into his property and take care of it. Sadezu, Umanezu, Niskakin, Vimamidna Petrapas. If the person designated a particular piece of land or a particular amount of money or exactly how it was, we know 100% with certainty what the deceased wanted to pay, then we can take care of his affairs and we don't even have to appoint someone who would be in charge of it, an Apetrapas. However, if the person just said, I want you to give a Sade or a Mane, you know, to this person, sadastam wanastam, then nizkakin, we do follow what the person said, and ma'amidin apitrapis, we have to appoint someone to take care of it, because we don't know exactly what should be happening, so therefore we need to hire someone to do that. Amri nehardai, but this is halacha that we wouldn't be concerned. Amri nehardai, nehardai, they said, bechulu nizkakin, not true, we always take care of them, ma'amidin apitrapis, and we always set up someone to take care of their affairs, levad minimtse sadash eino shalo, the only case in which we'll care for what they have, but not appoint an apetrapes, is the case where it turns out that one of the fields was not actually the father's. Why in that case, de achzuki sahadi bishakri lo machzekinan? Because if two Adam come forward and say, this field did not belong to the deceased, who are we to start figuring out what's all the halachos? No, we believe these Adam, and we're going to follow through on what they said. Therefore, in that case, you don't need an apetrapes, someone who's in charge of the person's affairs altogether to figure stuff out. It's very clear. If Adam say, this field did not belong to him, then this field goes to who it belongs to. We don't question Adam. Amar of Ashi, Rav Ashi says, Hilkach, therefore, the halacha is, and again, we're just going through trying to figure out the halacha, is the kukilam is dakinan. We do not, again, take care in general of the yisomim's nechasim. Okay, the Amar Rava that Rava said, Hilcha Sain is kak, and the halacha is, we don't follow because we're worried, presumably for the existence of a shofar. Okay, so really, we would not in any case take care of the Nechse Yisomim. V'im is Dak Kinan, and if we do, Mukminan Apitrapis, then we would. Meaning in cases where we would be concerned for whatever reason, we know there's not a shofar, etc., then we would, in fact, take care of his stuff, and we would set up an apetrapis, Amri Nehardai, based on the halacha of the Nehardai that we just quoted in the Gemara, Bechulu Niskak, and they said in all cases, we would take care of their affairs, Uma Amidin Apetrapis, and we would set up an apetrapis, Levad, except for the case, Minim Se Sada She'eno Shalo, for the case where it's found that it's not his, Dachzuki Sadi Bishakri, Lo Machzikinan, that we will not assume that these Edom are lying, that we have to get an apetrapis to look into it, rather, we'll believe them at face value and say, you can take your field back, and that is the cases in which we will sell the property of Yesomim in the Mishnah. Sure. Sure. I was going to say, even there's not a minion, so it's not going to work.
There is. Yes.
Oh, there just is. Perfect. Amen.